evening.
Good evening.
You're the first, I believe.
Oh, all right.
Anna
has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So I don't think we completed the study from verse 263. So I'm going to do that one again, and we'll talk about it, continue our conversation from last night. We are studying from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, from Parashat Vayera, section 20, verse 263, and this is the second time we're studying verse 263. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Tevit Kilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Le'akda L'shem Yudei Bavavhe V'yichuda Chalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadenu Kananei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadenu Kananeihu Amar lo tachatse amadiara ilchon itaved li'alam ulalme almaya haki hakein yame itavidu inun li'alam ulalme almaya utachatse dina The good shabri who dina de kabel dina inun lahawa taivin na shad miskana
has joined.
Oh, okay, good
has joined.
We are translating verse 263 from yesterday because we haven't finished it. He said to him, come and see. Just as their land was destroyed forever, so were they destroyed forever. Behold, the judgment of the Holy One, blessed be he, is judgment for judgment. Namely, a just retribution, just as they did not revive the soul of the poor with food or with drink. So in the same way, the Holy One, blessed be he, does not give their soul back to them in the world that is coming. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. This does not address the idea of multiple resurrections, separated by the 7,000-year periods, as discussed in my comments of Pasuk 262. The commentary by Bracha, verse 263 confirms that living in our duality world, justice is meant with measure for measure. It is referred to as just retribution. When Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboim failed to render towards the poor food and drink with charity, the same condition was extended towards the souls of these people, of these cities, by not allowing them entrance into the world that is coming. Is this fair justice or retribution taken too far? What insights are gained from this administration in the spiritual justice of Hashem? Second question, what about those who haven't learned or acquired Torah instruction? Is this fair justice without the knowledge of Hashem's instructions? Questions, comments, thoughts.
know if this is just a thought that I have heard before, that when someone has in this world has not been able to hear Torah, and of course not familiar of their responsibility for their actions, they're given the opportunity in a reincarnation to return, and usually they return to a home where Torah can be received, even if it may be in a religion that is not fully Jewish, but what I mean is in another direction, as long as they are able to hear, you know, the basic commands. That's what I understand. Is that in balance with the Zohar and Kabbalah understanding?
Essentially, yes, but it's you can't generalize like that. Each person is going to be judged, but the judgment is what is the best way for them to be motivated to achieve their tikkun. So the premise that we have in the physical world that ignorance is not an excuse under the law, that applies to the spiritual level as well, because the soul is not ignorant. The soul does know these things before it comes in. So it is what is happening in this world when it reads the Torah or doesn't, it's just refreshing its memory. So it's not exactly the same as the way you've described it.
Okay. That's good to know.
So the question is still there. Is it good justice, proper justice, for the souls not to be resurrected from Sodom and Gomorrah?
Well, I'm understanding that it would have to be fair justice, because we have to remember that the time of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the flood, the people were on a higher level, let's say spiritually in one sense. That's another thing I've been told. I don't know if that's true, but does that as well balance out with the Zohar and Kabbalah instructions?
Yes.
In regards to, okay.
People in earlier generations are higher spiritually than we are in our generation. Over time, the generations are further from the root, from their source, meaning they're further from Hashem. They have fallen spiritually. And there will come a time, which is where the souls will grow back to that level. But that can be, you're not sure if it's a progressive process or if it's a violent process like a revolution, or it's represented by the Armageddon War. But essentially every generation is further from its root. It's had another lifetime where it could have achieved its tikkun and didn't. So it reincarnates, and it's an indication that it is spiritually lower than it was in the previous incarnation.
I think that Sodom and Gomorrah knew what they were doing. They knew that the Lot was there. He was trying to show somewhat the generosity of greeting strangers. And my question is, the population of Sodom and Gomorrah, was that made up of the Canaanites? What descendants were they?
It's actually before the development of the various nations. Although that's not really a clean understanding. Because Abraham lived in the city of the Tower of Babel. And what he was teaching was there is one God, and it isn't Nebuchadnezzar. It isn't the other king. I forget his name. And so he came under political attack because that king was trying to prove to his people that he was God. And that's all part of the story of the Tower of Babel. So Abraham was in that generation. When Abraham is expelled from that land, or he runs away from that land, and he goes to where God is telling him to go, which is the land of Israel. And he finds in that land of Israel seven different nations. But they're not... they're not the same seven nations that existed when Joshua entered the land.
Right.
They were developing, and that was a period of about 400 years. So some of the nations were there when Abraham was there, and some of them were not. So I can't say whether they was the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were Canaanites or one of the other nations, or a mixture. It's just not clear, at least to my knowledge.
No, I understand through archaeology, and I've heard this within the last year, that during the period of time of Abraham, it was the Sumerian culture, the kingdom, who was ruling the world at the time, not Egypt, but the Sumerians. And it was documented from the archaeology records that they have. So that's where Abraham and Sarah were quite influenced by what was going on in that time period, which was filled with a lot of idolatry. So
there was only idolatry. Abraham was right. The only one thinking about one God.
Right, right. That I understand. So, but that was a time period that was verified through archaeology research and the finds that they made. On this, I have a question. At the end of the statement, when it says that Hashem does not give their souls back to them in the world to come. So if their souls are not given back to them when that time period comes for elevation for mankind, where will they go? Are they going to remain in Gehenna? Is that what it's hinted at here?
It's not said, so it's not hinted. The question is, is there one 7,000-year period, and this is it, or this is the last 7,000-year period, and those souls are going to be divided up, the merits of those souls are going to be divided up and given to others, so that the endless world is the same? Keep in mind that the non-Jewish world, all of the other 70 nations, they come from the endless world also, but they have not the progression of civilization from biblical times and pre-biblical times, meaning before recorded history, which is where the archaeologists are describing the Sumerian culture. The essence of those issues is the souls in the endless world before the correction, meaning before the physical world is created and we live in it and we make our tikkun. And then when we return to the endless world, there's no difference. So any soul spark that was in the endless world before the tikkun has to be there after the tikkun. But this verse in the Zohar is telling us that these souls are not going to find it, not going to live in the world that is coming. So the question is there another 7,000 year cycle where they will reincarnate? And that is my opinion, but there's no way of knowing that.
Okay. Well, they have to be, I mean, Noah and his sons were the developing world, right? After the flood? Are we talking?
After the flood. Yes, after the flood. But we're talking about 10 generations after Noah.
Right, right.
Well, okay, with that said, they had to be some Shem. I mean, they had to be someone that knew, had the knowledge of the Torah, the oral Torah.
No, Noah had a connection to Hashem,
right.
And he taught his three sons that same connection.
Okay.
But 10 generations later, all of that had been forgotten except around Jerusalem, where you have this person, Elimelech, who had a school. He was teaching there is one God. But there were other people teaching there are many gods. There are others teaching this is how you worship these various gods. It was a world of confusion and chaos, just like today, where people don't know what is truth and what is lie. And all of that was true then in Abraham's time. And what he was saying on his own, 400 miles from Jerusalem, he was living in Ur Kasdim. And he was living among idolaters. And wherever he sensed, learned, intuited, there is one God. So he had a communication system with that one God, with Hashem. And Hashem told him to leave and go to a place that he would say to show him. As part of that process, Abraham met Elimelech. And Elimelech transferred the high priesthood to Abraham, the high priesthood. There's always been a high priest in the world. There's always been a priest that was aware of Hashem and was teaching that, but not really, truly not effectively. And it was only around Jerusalem that was being taught. Elsewhere in the world, they went their own way, and whatever they felt was the right, and there were entities who would inhabit a tree, and when somebody would walk by that tree in the forest, they would get a shot of pleasure in their pleasure centers of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would get a voice or an image of how they were to serve that tree. And that tree became what's called an aseret. That tree became a location of an idol. And people would bow down to the tree. Not really to the tree, to the entity that had been given permission, the entity from the other side, from the negative system, that had been given permission to inhabit that tree and to lead people away from Hashem. That's the way the world was.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
With Abraham's time, wasn't he taught by Shem, who was known as Melchizedek, but not Elimelech? Isn't that correct? Because Shem was one of the sons of Noah, and he lived quite a while.
Yes, and he was the high priest because he was the firstborn
right.
of Noah. And so Shem inherited the high priesthood from Noah, who was the high priest of his generation.
Okay.
And it's not Elimelech, it's Malkut Tzedek. But Shem and Malkut Tzedek are the same person according to the Midrash. And Malkut Tzedek, who was Shem, was the high priest of the world. When he met Abraham, he transferred the high priesthood to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham is the high priest of the world in his generation, and he then passes that to Isaac, and
mm-hmm.
Isaac passes it to Jacob, and then Jacob passes it to essentially the tribe of Levi. They become the high priesthood, and that became ultimately Aaron.
Mm-hmm. So my answer to your question, was it justice served? Yes. I'm going to say yes to Sodom and Gomorrah.
So you think it was just that they're not resurrected and they're not allowed to enter the world that is coming?
Yes.
Okay.
And I based my answer on the other episode when the Israelites were coming through the desert in Moab, was it? And the women wanted to bring food and water, but the men did not. And I might have that a little backwards. And the requirement is that a Moabite woman could marry into a Jewish man. But a Moabite man could not marry a Jewish woman. And that's based on the fact that they didn't give food to the Israelites when they passed through. And they were going.
It wasn't even they didn't give them food. They wouldn't allow them to pass through their land.
Right.
And that's the men who made that decision. The women did not. And so the halakha, the path that's followed, was that a woman could marry into the children of Israel if she converted for valid reasons, but a Moabite man could not for 10 generations. And it was only 6 generations from that process between when Moses asked to cross their land and they said no, it's only 6
mm-hmm.
generations or 4 generations, 5 generations until King David, which is when his father had married a Moabitess, a female Moab descendant, and Naomi was a Moabite female descendant.
And plus, Zadoka is the highest nisba you can do. And it's not just about money. It's about charity. It's about sharing.
Exactly.
All of those aspects.
You're exactly correct.
So, again, my question would be, yes, it was justice was served.
And as I said, it's good to have an opinion. It's good to go forward. We don't really know, but there's grounds for the understanding, and that's fine. But that's what this verse is really commenting about and pointing us towards, is to recognize that everything that Hashem does is correct, is proper, is complete, is perfect in a sense. We may not be perfect, but the judgments of Hashem are perfect.
Right.
And those judgments come upon us, and we either can accept that they've come upon us from Hashem, or we can rail against the world for being unjust. And the purpose of this pasuk in the Zohar is to really reinforce the idea that what happens in the physical world is perfectly just, always.
Right.
It's very hard for us to perceive that and to recognize that, because it's my pain. And that pain isn't because I did something. I don't know where that pain came from, but that pain is perfectly just. But can I really, do I really believe that, or am I playing an intellectual game? Do I know it in my heart, or am I just playing around with it? That's really the message of this pasuk. And that's a very difficult thing for us to understand, because we have to accept the responsibility. If I have pain, I caused it. But I don't know what I caused. I don't know what I did that I have the pain. But I have to recognize that I have the pain, therefore I caused it. But I can't allow the fact that I caused it to drag me down into depression. I need to be joyful receiving the pain, because it's cleansing me in the most merciful way possible. As painful as it is, it's always the most merciful way possible. But it's very difficult to listen to my statements that I've just made and for you to truly accept it in your heart and in your life and the way you live your life. But that's really the message of this pasuk. And we are again out of time, so if you feel that we're incomplete on this discussion, we can do it again on Monday.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hanno. Good discussion today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom
gadol.
Tonight there's a 7 o'clock West Coast time class that is a regular Zohar class for the holiday of Sukkot. Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. West Coast time, there's a class on Psalms. And tomorrow at 11 a.m. West Coast time is a class for the Shir HaShirim. So I hope you'll join us all. And if not, have a wonderful Shabbat Shalom. A beautiful Shabbat Shalom, and truly enjoy and be joyful while you're in your sukkah, while the holiday
right. Of
Sukkot is all about joy. And that's what we were talking about with this verse today. We need to be joyful no matter what it goes on. Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Talk to Samaya.